Shalom lachem.
Hello, thank you for joining us here in the studio, New Life series, educational series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazaz. Hello. And here we're trying to learn from Rav Lyman how we can live a new life, a better life, where each of us will wake up with a big light in our eyes and happiness, will feel good, will feel warm, will feel connected, will feel that we're happy to be alive instead of being sad. Join us. I promise you there's a lot to learn. Nitzan Mazaz, get us into our discussion today in general. So first of all, we're talking about the general subject of the Jewish culture, the Israeli society, Jewish culture. We see that in the Jewish culture, when we look back, we see that a lot of was invested in describing the connections between people, the relationships between a man and his friend. And when I look today at our society, how it looks today, I see that a lot of these laws, not only are they not being carried out, but they are even carried out in the total opposite. For example, when I'm browsing through the internet and I go through the news, I see the last column, which is the most interesting, is the gossip column. Who doesn't want it? It's the most interesting. We see also the programs on TV, the media. The yellow part, what's called, it's the most exciting. It's the most interesting. That's where we stand up and really listen, pay attention. And when we look at it, when I look at culture, when I look back and read things, see, there's all kinds of things that maybe they appear on the one hand very ancient, and on the other hand, I feel that they have behind them some kind of wisdom, some law, some principles that perhaps if we carry them out, our society will look different. That same society that you spoke of as one family, as the connections between people were dependent and connected to one another. But we act differently. I'd really like us to start discussing today the relations between us, between humans, between a man and his fellow man. Well, first of all, where do we start? I think that perhaps let's begin with the fact that we're alive, we're in nature. We discover that what they discovered, our forefathers, that we are in the great round global nature where everything is connected, everything's in harmony. For animals, it's even clearer than for us in an instinctive manner. And the further away we get from nature and build for ourselves some fake cover, then maybe we forget about it. But then we discover over and over again, especially in the last period, how much we live in something that is the reality, the entire reality, a system, a great system of inactive, vegetative, animate, inanimate. We're all connected together and dependent on one another. With some small item, from the material, from some chemical element, something else. If it disappears, then everything will disappear. Everything will disappear. That's it. That's how our body exists. It includes all the parts inside that we have in the entire universe. So there's a system where all the parts are connected in a non-stop manner, integral manner, interdependent, everything together, to make a long story short. And this togetherness, we don't attain it, we don't reach it. We always have an inclination in our ego to do what we feel like doing without taking into consideration the system. And then we're breaking its laws. And then by this, we're inviting on us some unpleasant reaction, some bad reaction, even maybe fateful. And lately, we have to go back and see what we did, what we caused to that system, how we hurt the which laws, how we hurt the system, the relations between all the pressures and the heat, coolness, exchange of materials, the oceans. We did something that we still don't know what it is, but we see according to the reaction that something is wrong. And this only teaches us that everything's connected and everything is tied together. And we can't see ourselves as some, everything's under our control to do what we want with. Just like especially in the last 100 or 200 years we were taught. And we really damage ourselves in that, and for generations onward, God knows what we're leaving for the next generations. So the first conclusion is simple. We live in an integral system, meaning a general system where we're connected together. It's also called an analog system because it reacts immediately. And its reaction, we feel it reacts immediately, but until it reaches us, until we digest it, until we feel it, it takes time. And it's a very sensitive system. That's one thing, and this is something scientists agree about and all the researchers. That's one thing. On the other hand, when we research our nature, we know, we see that above inanimate, animate, vegetative, what we have in a person above the animate level is his ego. That's always growing and developing from generation to generation and trying to implement his ego, and its implementation is not for the good of the nature, the environment around him, and also not for the good of the person himself and humanity. And then it comes back on him. In other words, we don't know exactly how to use our ego. We go out to wars. We enjoy trampling on each other. We squeeze ourselves to succeed at something that's not even really important if we look at it in a logical manner, but rather, I want to still be more than him or to prove to others something, and that's how I kill myself and ruin my life. This ego is an uncontrollable force in us. And we have no idea what to do. Philosophers have written about it for generations, about these things, and still, until today, we don't know how we can manage it. To truly wear the reins that I know to. It's the greatest power in me, but it's greater than me. It's above me. It controls me, and it's not I controlling it. So the more we learn, and there's all kinds of courses today, all the systems, I'm not capable of controlling my ego. I'm not capable. And up till now, what we've been doing, we've been teaching our kids. We've been trampling ourselves, teaching our kids in the wrong way. Our life and family at work, what we eat, what we hear, all these things, it's all rotten and we're suffering. We're working 15 hours a day, we're dealing with it. We're eating synthetic plastic food. Everything's fake, everything's. And all this is because my ego is pressing on me to do what? I don't know what. Apart from happiness, I do everything the opposite. So our problem is like this. If we now connect these two things together, our ego and the global integral nature, then I see that these two things are actually opposite to one another, that all together inanimate, vegetative, and animate are in harmony, are in mutuality and equality with the environment, with nature. And my ego is what's taking me out of nature and putting me above nature. But it also puts itself above me, and then it controls. It dictates to me how I can destroy myself and destroy nature. I actually have my only enemy, and that's my ego. And we've discussed this, the wise people from all kinds of nations, not just ours, for generations. The first time we know our ego was discovered in Babylon as the Tower of Babylon. They wanted to reach up to the sky, no less, and they wanted to control everything. And then a group came to be under Abraham that said, no, we shouldn't do that. We need to fight the ego. There's a method with which we can neutralize it, and precisely through the ego, we can reach balance with nature. Meaning inanimate, vegetative, fine. But our ego is the speaking part of us, the rotten part, the broken man. We need to correct him. And there is a method for correcting him. How? By connecting between us according to special laws, by strengthening one another, and reach balance with nature, which we will attain on the condition that we attain the relation, love thy neighbor as yourself, between us. So that is precisely what we wanted to speak about. So from then until today, actually the same goal, the same method, and the same problem. If today it's especially vital because the world has gone into this general crisis already. It's not here and there wars, here and there threats or epidemics, or the Ice Age or something. Today it's all accumulating together. The Ice Age, confusion between the South Pole, the North Pole, and ecology in general, what's happening, and in human society, financial, economic, the crisis in the society. We see today, to make a long story short, everywhere we see ourselves that we've reached some cul-de-sac, some dead end. There's nowhere. There's a crisis in science, education, family, a crisis in the future that no one is coming up today and saying, I know the future. No one's even getting up and saying that. That's how clear it is to everyone that we don't know, with everything that we have inside us, we don't know where and how to advance. And then we continue in a passive manner with what we have. We're not pressing on the pedal for the future. Whatever comes will come. We don't know. We lifted up our hands in overcoming our nature and neutralizing it and connecting with one another. Everyone's under in his own apartment with his own screens, his phone. Give out each and every person their corner, and that's it. Whatever will be, will be. No one has the method of correction. No one can see the future. That's the way we're living. On the one hand, it's very sad, and on the other hand, it isn't. Because it looks to me like this is the time and place where precisely we can come out and develop in the correct manner. Because at least today, there's no one disturbing us. There's no people screaming like in the past that they know what to do. However, it's important for us to know this law. All our advancement can only be if we advance toward balancing with nature and in human society. That same balance is seen as love thy neighbor as thyself. When you spoke with us in the previous talks about the vision of one family that you described, you said there's two stages on the path toward love thy neighbor as thyself. And the first stage you said was don't do to your friend what you don't want done to yourself. So first of all, the question is, why do we need to learn what not to do or how not to harm before we learn actually how to love? Why is that the first condition? Because my nature is to enjoy, to love myself. Love of self or the ego requires from me to be not only full and complete with myself, that I'll feel good and convenient, that I'll feel pleasant, but rather I check my feeling, how much it's good for me, according to my fellow man. And then, to the extent that things are bad for my fellow man, I feel better because I check myself in a natural manner against him. Still, for me, it's better. At my side, it's better. I'm more successful. I'm stronger. I have a prettier house. I have a nicer car, greener grass, smarter kids, healthier kids. I'm always checking, even in my subconscious, that I don't, even when I'm not aware of it, I'm always checking how much I compared to others. And if I see something, that someone has something more than me, then I immediately have to complete things. But on my side, it has to be better. Otherwise, I don't feel that it's worth it for me to live, even to that extent. My ego demands from me justification for my existence. Therefore, each and every time I see colors, sounds, I breathe, I hear, it doesn't matter what, I'm always checking how much I exist. Otherwise, I don't feel that I'm existing. Only toward my fellow man. And that is everyone. Once somebody asked me about this explanation. But there's people that are so concerned with their fellow man, they go to hospitals and help other people to feel that they themselves are greater than them. That's what our ego does. We're not even aware of it. We're always pushed in that direction. We give birth to kids for that. We look after them when they're small, because they're small and we're big. Our ego is very sneaky and very deep. And it's precisely all its inclinations and motivations that we don't attain. It's very deep psychology. Maybe we'll talk about it later. So because we not only want to feel good ourselves, but we check ourselves against our fellow man, how bad he feels, then the first correction of the ego is don't do bad to others. I'm already correcting it, at least to be neutral, to agree with another as he is. I'm already like a snake that wants to all the time harm my fellow man. I already put myself as chafetz chesed, which is Don't do bad or good to others. Simply, I start to feel myself that I'm just a single thing in the world. I don't check myself against anyone else. I feel good with what I have. Chafetz chesed. I feel good with where I am. I don't check how much I have more or less compared to others. When I begin to work on this condition that I don't check myself against others, I advance to a situation where I feel this is my individual different self. I'm different from others without relating to others, without any checking, not for good and not for bad toward them. I am complete with myself. That's the first correction that's called Chafetz Chesed. You can say, in what way are you Chafetz Chesed? What chesed is there here? What compassion? At least in the fact that I'm not harming my fellow man. And I'm doing it above my great ego, the foundation. It's already very great work that a person has to do and to raise himself to this degree. It's already a very great stage. He starts to see the whole world different, like we said before. He's always checking himself against others, sounds, colors, smells, touching. I see how good it is for me, how bad, how much is it more or less, how everyone looks, how everyone behaves. No. I don't have that now. When I corrected myself to the Chafetz Chesed degree, I see the world in a different light, in a different frequency. I see a different format. I don't see that whether you're pretty or not pretty, if these colors, if I like these colors or not. I see you in a completely different resolution, completely different measurement. And therefore, the world looks very different, completely different. Later on, we'll speak about, but let's just understand that humanity, if humanity would reach this, it would operate with everything it built for itself in a very different manner. Because everything that we have today, everything that we did, we would clean it off completely, apart from everyone living with what it needs to live. I need a bed, I need my corner, I need something, this, all kinds of things to exist. And more than that, no, because all the rest is only on account of the competition between us. Only on account of the competition. I wouldn't even think, I have a shirt, okay. Give me another shirt until I launder this one. And that's it. You wouldn't wear anything on yourself. I wouldn't choose glasses like this or like that. It's something very different from today. It would prevent us, let's say, advancement, if you can call it advancement, to all our civilization, this competitive advancement, and would leave us to live at the level of animate, meaning that we don't eat each other up, that we don't harm each other, but that we arrange our lives in a way that everyone's happy with what they have. But the rest, our evil inclination, our ego, we would already be pulling it forward to what? To love thy neighbor toward thyself, the second stage. Not that I'm not looking at my fellow man and feeling in the middle. It's just in the middle of the way, Chafetz Chesed. But rather I would go onward. How can I benefit my fellow man? And here I'm starting to think, how can I do good for him? I have no idea. Should I buy him a shirt? He doesn't need a shirt. Should I do something for him? Maybe I'll cut his grass. What can I do to him? We would already build a system of relations between us, because in Chafetz Chesed, there's no system like that. It's in katnut, small. Of course, we supply each other with all kinds of basic necessities for our existence, because to exist, we need to exist like animals. We need to have a house, family, kids. But without exaggerating all this. And here, when we go forward toward bestowing to others, we need to see how can we bestow to one another. If everyone is Chafetz Chesed, if no one needs more, then what? And then we would discover that we have between us, in the relations between us, that you have a different desire to mine and not different than his, etc. And then when our desires connect between us, we would feel how we, in our relations between us, reach balance with the general nature. Then we would discover a common deficiency. Nobody has a deficiency, but it's a common deficiency. What is the common deficiency? To build, to complete our construction of that whole form of nature. We need to add to the other three levels our speaking human level. From the inanimate and vegetative inanimate levels, by us being connected together, everyone and all of humanity, we begin to relate correctly to in a harmonious manner, in balance to one another. And then we would discover inside this entire nice way of relating to people and seeing reality as completing and bestowing to this whole system of nature and coming back to us, that it's coming toward us. It's like each of us are transparent, through which all the powers of nature are going through. And in this manner, we would feel the general force, which is called the upper force, God, nature. That's what we would attain. To balance harmony, to the perfect balance and harmony. That's what we need to do. This is by participating in desires, in all kinds of characteristics of people, which is called love thy neighbor as thyself. That's it. Now, in order to reach it, to be Chafetz Chesed and to love and be loved, there's all kinds of acts, single acts that we need to also see as things that we can activate. What does it mean not to touch someone else, not to harm someone else? In what manner is this? Where's this psychology? What do I have to do with myself? Where do I check myself against my fellow man? How is the fellow man toward me? How do we identify these things? How can I be helped here by society? How do I consult with someone? I need a system, a whole system, a school, a university for this. I need something. Let's say I'm prepared to. Okay, so what next? This is precisely what we want to focus on. There's principles, and we want to go one by one, learn them, and learn how to work with it, and through it to connect correctly between us. So one of the first principles inside this category of don't do to your friend what you don't want done to you, not to gossip and not to tell things about others, that's Lashon Hara. There's a lot written about Lashon Hara, slander. Maybe I'll read some things, maybe just the main two sentences. Lashon Hara is telling bad things about your friend, even though you're telling the truth. But someone telling a lie is saying is someone who's getting a bad reputation for his friend. And whoever put out the slander is even worse than what the person did. Oh, sorry, who is even worse than the public person publishing the slander is even worse than the one who said it. We need to, in all our verifications, we need to get out of understanding the general system. It exists. It doesn't matter that we don't feel it, this entire system of nature that we're now discovering, that it's global, and maybe it's truly the only system, but it's like it is. Therefore, we have to measure the damage that we're doing, not by me telling you or you telling me. Let's say about our friend Oren, how much he sometimes all kinds of slander, but the damage that we're doing to one another, that whoever hears is really worse than the one who said it. The one who said it, that's his opinion, and there's nothing new from his side. But the person who hears it, that's a problem. Because he, in that, is becoming the person receiving this knowledge. And now, from his side, towards this entire huge system that we're in, and this whole huge sphere called nature, he's already damaging, ruining his relations with everyone in one bad thought that awakened in him toward a friend, because we're all connected in infinite connections. And then with one word, like I heard bad about someone, I am ruining an infinite amount of connections between us, between all humans. We even know today that we have 6 degrees of separation among us today, we know. So if I'm thinking something bad about someone, it doesn't mean that it's not true, even if it's true. What they said about him, true or not true, we can't deal with. But toward the system itself, I'm now activating the bad force toward the system. That it itself exists, is in complete harmony, but it's me. I exist in a system that I built inside. There's two spheres, there's two balls. One big ball, which is ideal, complete. Everything exists there, corrected, perfect. Everything's wonderful. And the other ball, how I build it, with the bad way I relate to everyone, you and him and him. So the other sphere is very black, it's very rotten, full of and I'm adding and adding to it. Like a cell system, there's systems like that. And therefore, slander, it's also not just what you're saying, it's the thought. Not just speaking. If it raises for me from thought to my mouth and I stop on the way, our thoughts are also acting in the world. So Lashon Hara, slander, is not just whether I'm writing it or not, even if I wrote it and it wasn't even sent to anyone. But the fact that I wrote it, I determined it in writing, it's called something that already has appeared in the world. And more and more, this means that I need to correct myself before this thought can even come up in my head. That's what I need to be sad about. That, oh, well, how am I thinking about someone? Here we have to have this point of verification and chazara b'tshuva. This is where I have to be sorry and feel bad. You said that actually I have to do penitence. You said if somebody told me about a third person, how do our thoughts influence the system? We're all connected inside the system. All of us, just like our body that has billions of connections and each cell knows how it's connected to all the other cells, how it's connected to all the other limbs, and all the systems that exist are in this mutual relations between them in harmony. And this is how we're all in the image of one man, this huge organism that is called humanity, and we're all connected, all of us, and now we're only discovering it. So our thoughts and our desires, everything. Until today we thought that it's only if we do a certain thing to someone that we're harming someone. No, our thoughts. Now you're saying our thoughts are actually the main thing, meaning we have to grab ourselves as early as possible when the thought comes up. How do we do it? Let's think for a second. Let's say I suddenly have a thought and I want to go. When it comes up in your thought, that's it. It'll be activated. It's even worse. It's even worse that it comes out in writing or speaking, but we need to do acts so that I won't have it even come up in my thoughts. But that looks like a very advanced stage to me. This is for beginners, or do we start to, can we start from, okay, it's unpleasant, a thought came up, so I swallow it. What have you done with that? But what do I do in the first stage? My first instinct is to tell someone else, I had a thought, I think about it, and then I go and talk about it. The fact that I stopped it, have I already done some act? Yes and no. Depends what your intention is. Why did you stop it? Maybe because you're a politician. You used to be in politics, right? So, because your role, say you had a public role, you had lots of thoughts where you would not say anything. I'd keep them to myself, my thoughts. So, is that better or worse? For now, it may appear to us that it's worse, because you're at least not advertising it. Like Oren said to us, that the person who hears is not the one saying it, but actually, if it happens like this, then if it came up in you with thought like that, then it's rotten. But I don't have control of my thoughts. But now we have to see, can we correct ourselves in such a way that we won't have bad thoughts? That they won't come up, or that they'll come up, and we won't have bad thoughts. But for the sake of correction, say toward our kids, let's say with love, that I'll see something in you, but in the light of love, like I see in my little kid. That even though I see all kinds of things that aren't so great on my child, but I look at him with love and I go to correct him for his own good. Otherwise, no. In other words, I have to equip myself, first of all, with the love of my fellow man, and then all the thoughts that come up in me towards him, even thoughts that I'm really criticizing him very seriously, it'll only be for his own good. I wanted to ask here, when you spoke previously, you said there's two balls here, one inside the other. There's all kinds of, no, I really connected to this picture, and suddenly I have a picture that I'm walking on the beach, something that happens all the time, and I really love the beach. And I see garbage that people left on the beach. So the beach itself is perfect. Everything's harmonious. It's just perfect. There's no other word for it. And we come and we polluted, and need to explain before that this slander and gossip, it's already a part of our culture that we're living in. The culture today is a culture of gossip and slander. In other words, this pollution on the beach that we're creating, it's become so normal and standard with our lifestyle, our modern lifestyle today, that it's as if in that same nice, perfect beach, we opened a garbage dump and we decided to live inside it. When we're feeding it and all the time, and everyone's talking about badly about everyone, and it's really the standard. Now, my question is, why are we always gossiping about everyone? It's as if, I'm even having a worse image now. It's as if we've gotten used to, we're used to enjoying the juice of like the garbage, like cats. Like, we had the possibility to live in this heaven on the beach. We opened this garbage dump and we went to live inside it. And inside it, we have adventures and stuff. So the question is, what is the rationality? What causes us? I'm not talking about someone. I'm talking about all of us, me. Why does this feed us so much, this juice from the garbage? Why do we like it and feel that it gives us so much happiness hearing about things? It's for an example, I look at others. I look at others, what they do, and I have to do even more than them. I have to do it even better than them. I need the juice of the juice. Inside the garbage. I didn't understand. Our evil inclination is putting us even deeper inside this garbage. The Zohar gives a very good example. The book of Zohar says the angel of death comes to a person with a sword, and on the edge there's a drop of poison, and a person opens his mouth and gets that drop and dies. That's the death, angel of death. That's our ego. That's our evil inclination. Why is it so juicy for us to see these yellow things on the news? Why is it the most exciting part? Why does it touch us emotionally? It fills my ego in a simple, close, and fullest way possible, because our ego enjoys enjoys food, sex, and knowledge. It enjoys all these things if it feels that it's being filled instantly. Being filled instantly from its natural instinctive desires. How is this connected to slander and gossip? Slander and gossip, I can see immediately that I'm more than others. What could be better? Between men, it's not such a big deal because men don't like talking and they have a different characteristic, but women especially, because they like to blab. God forbid, we're not talking about accusing one another, but according to nature, men are more in implementation and women are more in talking. That's how our brains are set up. We won't go into it, but it turns out that I enjoy it. I feel myself more, and especially with women, because they feel inferior. So by gossiping about someone, oh, I feel great that she was missing it. But for men, it's not so much. There, it's in a simple manner. The more I'm macho, It's physical things. It's either there or it isn't. If we should compensate or complete things with money or some achievements, and with women it's through language. It's their weapon, their special weapon. The language of mommy. What does that mean, weapon? It's their weapon. If men are arguing and start fighting, what do women do? Women don't fight. They come with their tongues. They curse each other. They gossip about each other. That's their weapon. And that's why it's especially for women. But you can't say it's something feminine. Today it's become the culture that shapes our thoughts. You're open. If it's a TV show, it's right down to the foundation to make fun of someone, to enjoy the fact that someone... What do you want from these small people? I'm one of those little people. I'm not talking about little people. I'm asking you as a smart person that understands these things, it's as if it turns out that I can enjoy it because I understand where it comes from. I'm not talking about you. It's a lack of education. It's a level that if you raise it up to a higher level, then you see that he stops with it right away. You know what? Let's go forward to a higher level. About this specific subject, because I started to understand that the subject of slander or not saying anything bad about anyone else. I remember when I was a little child, I was always taught in school that it's not nice. But nobody said that it... Sorry, nobody says that it actually harms. The fact that it's not nice or not moral, okay, that I get it. But suddenly I understand now from everything you're describing how it goes into the system and the garbage, this picture that I'm getting. So I understand that we're not just talking about something that's not just nice. It's something that truly causes damage, very serious damage to the system. And we're suffering as a result of that in our health and kids and in everything. Yes, so what? Will it stop someone? No, it won't. Suddenly I understand that our life is like he said, we're in the garbage. When I watch TV, how they talk, or on the radio, or the newspaper, especially what's happening on the internet, this gossip, and all these, what's happening there, it really accelerates our development in knowing our evil inclination. So I'm happy. Humanity won't reach correction if it doesn't reach a state that's non-reversible. People can't stop. Our ego, our evil inclination, has to open itself until the end. It's the power of nature that must reach a state to show a person, I control you 100%, and I am killing you like that, with that drop of poison at the end of the sword. And then a person, because he has no choice, because he's really pushed into the corner, then he can hear that there's the possibility, and we have to correct ourselves. Only then. So therefore, when I look on the internet, how it's used, and phones and all those things, it's accelerated so much in the development and of this slander, this gossip in our system. I really enjoy it. It shows me that we're very close to the end, to the dead end, and then we'll decide that we have to begin corrections. There's no choice. We can't breathe on this seashore anymore. We have to start cleaning it up. And before that, no, give me a comparison, because I understand that I'm learning from comparing. Let's say a situation of slander and gossip from 100 years ago, for example, and the same situation now. What's the difference? It was always not nice and unpleasant. What's the difference? And those to that extent around the whole world. I open the internet, I see somebody did something and this to this one and that one in all the countries. It's crazy. First of all, we never see the truth. What we're being told, it's all because it's worth it for someone to advertise it. Before there will be something good, you have 20 ads that you have to see or hear something. It's all so full of lies and garbage from the start that a person doesn't see anything clean. He doesn't reach it. He's really feeding off the peels and not the fruit itself. Never. So I'm getting a picture like this. Tell me if it's connected to what Nitzan's asking. The difference between 100 or 200 years ago to today is that the world, reality, life has become more connected. Everything is connected to everything. Everything is dependent on everything. Everything's online. We're living online and we're living in a network. If we go back to this image of the garbage, 100 years ago, if I would say something bad to someone, it's as if in the garbage in my house, I threw something into the garbage. But it's in the building that I live in. I would speak to Nitza about Michael, our neighbor. It stays in our building. Today, because everything's online and on the network, each person that throws a piece of garbage throws it to this general place, meaning the network is like a network for collecting garbage. It's like they collected all the garbage from each corner like it was 100 years ago, and they're throwing it to me all of a sudden. It's not like the garbage in my building. It's in the whole world. It's like a whole huge, it strengthens the garbage in the system. This is called the integral world, the global world. So now I'd like to ask a little bit forward. It's all the opposite of what it has to be. This inner sphere becomes blacker more and more and opposite from the external sphere. Yes? So it has to reach a state where it will be entirely like that, that the bad will overcome 100%, just like when the exile from Egypt with Pharaoh, until we discover all the bad, all the garbage, and the 10 blows, they didn't get away from it. And now another question. We're human, right? We're not animals. The thing that differentiates us is that we're speaking creatures. We speak to one another. That's exactly. So now the question is like this. If you come to my life and be with me for one day with a camera and check how I talked with other people, and then you'll bring me like a researcher and you bring me a report and you'll say, look, this is what you talked about today. Now look, according to the theory of the garbage on the seashore that's burying us inside us, 95% of the things that you said are a mistake. In the system, you made a mistake. You did something bad to yourself. So let's say I digest everything. So I look at my reports. So what can you do otherwise? So what am I going to talk about tomorrow? Exactly. What am I, dumb? Yes. What? You have to stop yourself before a fight. What do you mean? In the connected world, people won't talk? They will talk. They will talk about the need for connecting, to raise a person up. How do you talk to your kid? In slander? Someone you love, do you talk in slander?
No.
No, we try not to. How is it possible? Sometimes there's situations. You mean that I don't tell them slander? I really do tell people close to me about good or bad things about other people. A person that you love, my kids, I will never... That's a real example for me. If you ask me, I'll tell you what I think about your kids. You? Not just me, anyone else. Then, of course, there's a lie here. There's a bribery that love is... It makes us blind. For good and for bad. For better and for worse. So how do we reach a state where... reach the correct system of connection? What are we talking about in the correct system? First of all, how do we reach it? Maybe it's technology. I'm not so interested in that. Let's put it aside. I want you to take me. We're so in the juice of the garbage. Let's move to something good. Explain to me. Let's say us three people were all the people in Israel. After we say we understood everything you explained to us today, what are we talking about? That's what I asked before. If I got 95% the things that are a mistake, what I'm saying, then what are we going to talk about? First of all, you're only talking about love. Do you have anything to say? Good. If you don't have anything to say, then you don't need to say anything. The world is nice, clean, quiet. People are at the stage of chafetz chesed. They're not talking. Whatever I need, I receive. I don't need more than the other. I don't have criticism for anyone, but just the opposite. Maybe someone needs something. We begin to supply other people with the way we relate to them, with such feeling that they have full confidence. If other people are thinking about a person, he doesn't think of himself. They neutralize his self-concern. What do they think about him? They think about him feeling good. They think that he will feel good. I want him to feel good. And in that way, I'm neutralizing his ego, his desire to think about himself. He automatically becomes like a baby in his mother's hands that doesn't need anything. Mommy's looking after him. He doesn't need to think about himself. So he's talking about love with other people. He has nothing else. But what does it mean to talk about love? We awaken in him. Love is called about the connection between us. We're only concerned with deepening the connection between us from heart to heart, from thoughts to thoughts. In other words, to reach that same external sphere. This external, beautiful, natural, huge system, corrected, complete, and how to become merged together there. That's what we're talking about. About ourselves, we have nothing to talk about, because if everyone's looking after everyone, then no one has to be concerned about themselves. What else do I have to worry about? How we all together, not each person, but how we all together in the connection between us reach this beautiful, perfect network and live in it in harmony, in upper harmony, supreme harmony. That's what we're talking about. And then we enjoy this, and there's infinite development. Don't think that it's limited, because today you are really in this garbage. You begin to enjoy the perfection, the connection that we have, and this harmony. You go into divinity. Nature in Gematria is God. and you feel everyone. You don't live your private life. You feel the entire system, all the billions of people, all the universe, the world. And that's what you buy. That becomes your life. That becomes you. When you say we all have to become like one family, that is the peak of this development? Yes. From here onward, we're only heading towards that. Our time is up. You wanted to say something, but we'll transfer it to the next talk. Thank you, Rav Leibman. Thank you, Nitza Mazuz. I hope we learned and internalized something, how to transform our life from get out of the garbage and go to the nice beach, and we'll live together nicely like one family. Until the next time, all the best, new life.